The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
B-Pod Studios.
Zolak and Bertrand are live.
Bozo PR people that work Radio Row this week really are something special. They really are. I can't imagine how much money they make to just be completely inept. It's unbelievable how many times we got emails in the last 2 weeks trying to schedule people that when we emailed right back right away and we're like, yeah, sure, let's talk, let's set it up, that we then got ghosted for days. Or even worse, ghosted for good. What was the one that never called us back?
McCourty's.
McCourty Twins. Got an email about the McCourty Twins.
Pizza Hut, technically.
Right away, we were like, hey, yep, we'll do it. And they had the availability. We were going to schedule it.
Hardy loves these people.
I emailed the guy right back. I picked up the phone and called him on his cell phone. Got voicemail. Left him a voicemail. Mark Capello then called him 6 more times to try and nail it down. Because we're trying to fill out the schedule. And then you just get ghosted by these idiots. How much money do these people make?
Probably not a lot.
I have no idea.
They're PR firms. I just looked up the one that just screwed us over.
Yeah, that's a good
in
one.
Chicago.
That's a good PR
Jill Schmidt,
too.
They good?
That's a really good one.
Yeah, they're not very good. Here's my Yelp review. You guys suck at your job. Oh, my God. Yeah. We're not doing that interview.
Yeah, right.
First they canceled Andre Reed. Now they've canceled the whole thing. Because you know why?
And you know what the best part
None of them are even here until tomorrow. So why would you schedule an interview on a Wednesday when nobody from your traveling party is in Miami until Thursday?
Well, it's a scheduling snafu, Beetle.
The scheduling snafu is they booked two guests together at the same time. And only one of them was going to be here in the first place. And they canceled that one. And the other one isn't even going to be here until tomorrow.
Well, it's a hiccup. There's a slight hiccup.
And it's not even that big of a
it's
guess.
It's just been like 2 straight weeks of dealing with these idiots.
It was a favor.
Then there was another guy. There was another guy yesterday who we confirmed with, we talked with, we texted with, and he then emailed again and was like, I lost your cell number. Can I have it? And we didn't reply fast enough, even though we had our cell phone numbers from previous emails. He called Boston. He called the sports hub to the main desk and was like, I need to talk to these people. When's that interview?
He called,
Friday?
Hi, Boston.
Friday at the end of the week? Like, what?
He called David at the front desk.
Yeah, he called the front desk back home in Boston.
Is the ice cream
this has been a hell
there?
Of a week with the PR types.
Windows down?
They're so bad. So bad. Except Jimmy Shapiro. We like him.
David Jimmy doesn't need this crap. Early.
He had Kyle Turley.
David's busy. He doesn't need this crap.
He'll be back with Ravel on Friday, too.
Yeah, Jimmy Shapiro's
a
good guy.
He said,
we've been talking to him for years.
We have to move Ravel back.
And Andrew from NFL Network is one of the best.
He's the best.
He is the best. But he's not a PR guy. He works for the network and helps allocate their talent. That's what he does. So it's like, wow, you know?
Yep.
All right. Now I got that rant over with. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if that was annoying.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
But these people, man. These people.
Oh, boy.
Lawrence Taylor behind us with Zoe.
I lined up under
guard. Yeah. Zoe's telling the story where he's terrified by Lawrence Taylor in a scrimmage.
We're right here. Come sit down if you want, LT.
He kicked my ass.
If you want to come see us, we're right here.
Still looks tough.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Come around.
Oh, he's still scary.
Now,
there's
a guy, Lawrence Taylor. You know exactly who he is when you see him. I'm like, oh, there's LT.
There he is.
Around.
Yeah. He has a presence.
Sims, his kid. His dad played with him.
You were scared in a scrimmage?
I lined up under the guard.
instead of the center.
Because you saw him across the line?
I looked left, and he was angled like on the line like this. And an LT thing was hanging down his helmet. He had an LT earring, and it was hanging down. All you saw was the whites of his eyes. They had those big white face masks, and he just says white eyes right through it. He's staring at you. I think I almost peed my pants.
He said, he's going to hurt me.
I'm like, I'm not going to run that way, and I'm getting rid of this ball fast.
This hour of coverage brought to you by IntraSystems on Radio Row. Along those lines, we were talking the other day about Bill Romanowski.
Yeah.
Who once hit, was it Steve Young? Is that what happened?
Yeah, the story is.
In a walkthrough?
Steve Young can't stand it because when the 49ers started to gear their practices down, they were one of the first to do it. Buffalo was the true first to do it. They went shells and helmets, walkthroughs. We were all hitting the pads twice a day. So San Francisco geared it down, too, because they were smart. And they were running a walkthrough, and he's jogging down the line of scrimmage. And Romo buckles up his helmet, full speed, hits him under the chin.
His own quarterback.
And drops him on his ass. Cut his chin with the crown of his helmet. So I go full speed all the time, dog. Okay. You can get pissed all you want.
Cuckoo.
Well, we saw him the other
day. Get pissed all
you
want.
That's what had us talking about it. We saw him the other day.
You get pissed all you want, it's going to make you better. It's going to make me better. I'm 100%. I'm 100% speed. 100% all the time.
I can't dial it down.
Walk through my
ass. I'm so intense, I can't dial it down.
I'd run through a wall with that guy. Have him run through the wall first.
Marcus Williams feel the same way? The guy's eye bone he broke. He punched him at practice.
Yeah. I think Jim's favorite guy, Dr. Chow, just walked by. Your buddy, the NFL doc.
Dr. Leslie Chow?
Nice. Got any injuries we want to update? Do you have any videos on your phone, Zoe? Maybe you can evaluate it.
Jim despises. He hates that. Hates the NFL, the injury doc.
They're so stupid.
Can't stand it.
Yeah, but most doctors are dumb.
Yeah.
Idiots.
Oh, examine the person.
Doctors. Don't know what they're doing. Doug Kide has this tweet from 10 minutes ago. Waiting to see a reaction from Zoe when I say Doug Kide. He says, don't be surprised.
He's a nerf.
Don't be surprised if Tom Brady brings along free agent receiver Danny Amendola to wherever he plays next season. That could even be a reunion in New England.
I agree.
Oh.
I was going to say this when we were talking receivers the previous segment, and I forgot to, that I heard that Danny Amendola possibly wants to come back.
To New England?
Yeah.
Okay, what about if Brady's not there? What if Brady goes to Vegas?
I don't think he wants to come back to play with Stidham. He wants to come back to play with
So he
Brady.
Wants to go wherever Brady goes?
Yeah. I think ideally he'd like to be here with Brady and Edelman. You
know? You'd like to come, wait, here, New England with Brady and Edelman?
Yeah.
Okay. That was one part of the story last night. We were at the next table over from Amendola at dinner.
Oh.
Did you see him?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yelled him?
He said Amendola at dinner.
Did I?
Yeah.
That's all right. And then another part of our night last night was when we talked about how events, sometimes when Zoe breaks stories, he doesn't break the stories. We read a tweet or something on the air, and Zoe goes, oh, yeah, I knew that. That just happened.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say that.
Well, no, you that said you wouldn't, happened. You wouldn't be surprised about that either.
No, he said he heard Danny Amendola.
I heard Amendola's in play here. Put it that way.
Nice.
What if Amendola prefers
Bring
to go
your
to
song out?
I like Amendola, and I saw flashes with Detroit where he looked like the old Amendola, but I saw just as many times where I didn't see him as being any kind of an impactful presence.
Yeah,
I mean, it'd be nice if Brady wants him and he's here. He's a guy you can trust, but to what end? Like, you know, what does it translate to in terms of catches per game?
I don't care. It translates to if he comes back, Brady's coming back. Because he's not coming here if Brady's not coming back.
Correct.
Why can't he just go with Brady wherever Brady wants to go?
No, I'm saying if Amendola wants to come here, then maybe he feels that Brady's coming back.
Yeah, I'm with
he
him.
Wouldn't want to come here
he
if he didn't
here
think Brady was
him.
Coming back.
Or Chucky Rogers there or whatever his name is.
So if he's like,
if he says, I want to come back, I got to think that he thinks or knows something that Tom's coming back. And that's great. I don't care how many balls he catches.
He said something about that last year, though, to one of our guys, where he said, I'd love to come back, but I haven't heard anything.
But he was under contract with another team. He would have needed to be traded.
But, Hardy, he wouldn't have said that if Brady wasn't the quarterback last year. He doesn't want to come back to play with another quarterback. He wants to come back to play with Brady.
What team's he on?
The Lions.
Oh.
But he's a free agent now, right?
I believe so. It was a two-year deal he signed, right? Yeah. With Miami?
He's out. He's free agent.
Yeah. And even if he did have a year left, his head coach called out head coach and said, get the deal done. I want him back.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's a positive development in the Brady front, right?
Yes, I would say so.
No, because like he just wants to play with Brady wherever Brady goes. If Brady goes to the Chargers, I think Danny Amendola would want to go there. What about this is specific to New England?
Zoe said he's hearing that he might want to come back to New England. Yes. That's what Zoe just said.
Does he want to play in New England or play with Brady?
Let's play with Brady.
Okay.
Well, you didn't say that earlier. You said New England.
He just assumes Brady will be here, I think.
You think he's going to make an assumption like that, though?
Yes.
Yeah. You think, are they close?
I mean, they
do
live.
They talk?
They live in a different world, Jim.
So they don't talk. You know, they're not close.
No, they are. But
they're so just honed in on them. And
well, put it this way. Do you think Brady's made a decision?
Well, I mean, the Giants and Jets are in now on Tom Brady.
Do you think Brady's made a decision?
Yes. I think he's made a decision, but I think the team has to come up and get him there. He wants to stay. I think he wants to stay.
It makes the most sense to stay.
He wants to stay, but he's willing to leave.
He's staying or he's going to Tennessee, period. That's it.
I don't know if I believe the willing to leave part. I think he wants to stay and he just wants to get paid, so he has to put it out there that he wants
to. I do, but what if you don't get paid?
Maybe you retire.
But he also said when you get paid, hey, my wife makes a lot of money. I can't make as much money as those other guys because we need to have enough money for other guys on the team, and we need to build that team up. Now you start making all that money, now those guys get less. So
it just feels to me like it has everything to do with Brady and not New England. But maybe it's let's get the band back together, Jules. Amendola, Brady.
3rd and 12 is in play, baby.
They're not getting any younger, though.
Yeah, Gronk's still in good shape, too, right? He said so.
They're not.
Want to get the band back together. Get the band back together.
That's loading up. Sanu.
His contract just tolls to the next year, right?
Sanu, Gronk, Amendola. Yeah. Sanu, Gronk, Amendola, Edelman. And then find somebody to play Dorsett. Give me a fast guy outside. And Harry.
Let's talk about the Red Sox and get to your calls. We'll do all that coming up next year on Zolak and Bertrand from Miami.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
First, our introduction.
Zolak, Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tessie is the royal root, his rally cry. Tessie is the tune they always sung. Tessie echoed April through October nights. After serenade installed in Aiden Yards.
This is horrible.
Tessie is a maiden with a smile.
This makes me want sausage and peppers.
It's just so cliche.
Hey, it's the sausage
I hate
guy.
Every time we play this crap. It's very cliche. It's one of those days where I'm...
Why don't you go not poop on something?
No. No, that's not in my nature. Red Sox items. Couple Red Sox items here.
Oh, Red Sox.
How do you feel about Mookie Betts at 10 years and $300 million?
I think it's obscene, but I think that's a reasonable offer.
Best answer was Zoe's. Zoe wins.
What do you say?
He ain't taking that.
What are you trying to offend him like John Lester? He's a 4-4-20, dude.
Huh. I'm with Zoe. I'm with Zoe on this.
So he's going to sign less than what Tejada signed? Yeah. No. He's gone, dude. He is gone. You can't pay him.
Who signed? Machado?
Oh, shit.
Tom.
I'm sorry. Damn baseball names. Machado. I don't know that. That one came out.
Machado's deal.
You think?
Machado's deal was 10 years and 300. So it would be the same deal.
Yes.
Same deal.
Yeah.
As Machado.
I almost nailed it.
Mookie Betts. according to Lou Maloney, he said the Red Sox offered Betts 10 years and $300 million in the 2019 offseason. So that's last offseason. They offered him 10 years, $300 million.
Yep.
He countered with 12 years at 420. I think Maz may have something more on this today if they discuss this story.
Okay.
That'll be good.
I don't want to say anything that I've heard. I was talking with him about it last night. But it may not have been $300 million. It may not have been that number. It may have been a little less than that. I don't know. But so at 10 years, $300 million, it's the same as Machado. That was a year ago. He countered with 12 years and 420. How do you feel about that offer? $420 million.
No.
For 12 years. $35 million. So he wants a difference of at least $5 million a year.
And that adds up.
And an additional two more years to go to 12 years.
Right.
This is where I feel like, nah, that's too much.
Yeah. He's going to get traded. People are going to be sad. I think people are starting to expect it.
But let's not make the same mistake we made, or at least I think people made, when talking about the John Lester deal. Where they came at, the first offer was an insult to John Lester.
Well, that's an aging pitcher, though. Lester was
this,
a bump.
No, this is not an insulting offer. You're right.
A, it's not an insulting offer, and B, it's a negotiation. What do? You come out with what your absolute best offer is going to be and what you're willing to pay for the player over the course of the number of years? No, it's a negotiation. Mookie, we'd love to have you play here. And they said this last offseason, remember, not yesterday, last offseason, for 10 years at $300 million. And Mookie said, I like the sound of 12 at 420 better. They say, okay, let's circle back on this sometime later. It's just the start. It's just the start. Now, I'm not saying that they're, you know, in any way, shape, or form going to be able to retain Mookie Betts' services. But to say that that's all they offered him? Well, yeah, at the start, it's a negotiation.
Yeah.
I mean, that they've gotten a lot of good players over the years. They're not idiots. They didn't want John Lester. And if they insulted John Lester with the first offer, that's because they didn't want him anyway.
So according to multiple reports, the Dodgers and Padres are both pushing for a trade of Mookie Betts. They both are talking to the Red Sox about Mookie Betts, and MLB Network had a report today that the Padres are pushing the hardest. The Dodgers have the easiest way to get the deal done. They have the easiest path to do the deal for Betts. Red Sox stats on Twitter. Great follow if you're a Red Sox fan. You should be following this account if you're not already. They put together a timeline of Mookie Betts' contract offers and rejections. 2017, he rejected 5 years and $100 million, according to reports, obviously. 2018, he rejected 8 years and $200 million. 2019, according to this latest report, he rejected the match, 10 years, $300 million of Machado's deal. So three straight years, the offer was $100, then $200, then $300 million. So if you're just Mookie Betts right now, you say, well, why? I'm going to go to free agency next year and try and push.
Maybe I should ask for $450.
Get to four. I'll try and get to four. Why? Every year I'm making $100 million more dollars because I didn't sign. Every year that has been true for Mookie Betts.
That's a good point.
Just try and look at it
that's
from the player's perspective.
Right.
Because every year I get offered another $100 million guaranteed.
Yep.
So why am I going to cut short and sign a deal now?
Yep. Right.
Why the hell would I do that?
Right.
And the team that threatens to trade him is the same team that keeps upping the offer. So when he hits the market, what's to say they won't up it again? Is that so wrong of him to think?
Nope.
Well, hey, even if he does want to stay here, right? Let's say Mookie Betts As much as we people have accused him, I have not, but people have accused him of he wants to leave Boston. He doesn't want to be here because he's not signing these deals. If he does want to stay in Boston, what's his motivation to sign that deal now and not this coming off season after the year? Based on just the math. I love the Red Sox. I want to be here, but every year they offer me another $100 million. So I'll just wait as long as possible before I sign it. And then I'll get the most money.
There you go.
And I'll stay.
And I might end up staying, even if someone offers more. But it's all it's going to do is make them up their offer more and more.
Correct. And so I think this is also why, if you're one of those other teams, you know why the deal hasn't been done yet with the Padres or the Dodgers? The deal hasn't been done yet because the guy is going to bolt at the end of the year. That's why he's not going to go to the Dodgers and say, you know what? I'm here. I'll sign the deal that I wouldn't sign with the Red Sox because I'm now a Dodger. He's going to do the same thing to the Dodgers that he would do to the Red Sox. Play out the year, hit free agency, see where the most money is. And for some reason, that has he's been vilified in Boston for this. He doesn't want to be here because he didn't sign early.
I don't think it has to do with the money.
What is it then?
I just think it's, I think it's the way he rubs people. And not that you rub people a bad way. Like you see somebody, it's geek to be here. And he just rolls with it, It's
sort of a mellow guy. He's not a rah-rah guy.
It's not his fault. There's a little lack of excitement there.
Okay, so on the deal, I don't want 12 years for anybody. I don't even want 10 years for anybody.
10's long.
But 10 is what's the going rate.
You're going to have to give 10.
You got to give him the 10. Bryce Harper, I know he did his deal a little differently, but you got to go with a 10-year deal. So split the difference. Right?
Yeah.
No, you're not getting 12 and 420. How about 10 and 350? Would you do 10 and 350?
I would, yeah.
I would, today. 10 years, $350 million. Turn that down,
Mookie. You meet in the middle of the 40 and 30.
Turn it down.
You meet in the middle of the 40 and 30. You're at 35.
Let's split the difference. We'll give you the 35 or 10 and 340 or something like that. You know, somewhere in that, 10 years, but more than 30 a year. He wants 12 and 35 a year. Come on.
No.
Come on now. So I think there's a way to split the difference here. If they really did offer him 10 and 300, they're not that far apart. This is the other encouraging news for me. That means they're willing to really spend on this player and should be willing to spend once he hits free agency too, which is more the reason not to trade him, in my opinion. Don't trade this guy. More on Mookie Betts and also some news on the managerial hunt for the Red Sox. Have they found their guy yet? Where are they going to find their guy? What's the story there? Are they going to replace Alex Cora? We'll talk about that after headlines with Hardy.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Solak and Bertrand are live from the Miami Convention Center, presented by Hyundai on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand. This hour coverage from Radio Row brought to you by IntraSystems. The latest on the Red Sox managerial search, John Heyman had this tweet yesterday. Word is Red Sox have at least talked to potential in-house candidates. Carlos Fabelis and Ron Renicki about the manager job. Boston may well go internal on this hire. While Jason Varitek would like to manage at some point, due to family reasons, folks aren't sure this is the time. It sounds like Varitek is not going to be the guy. Friends, I know many of you want him to be the guy.
He's a popular name.
Varitek, give me Tech.
He's the popular name.
Give me the captain.
Give me the captain.
Give me the captain as manager.
He's already a leader of men.
He's not a cheetah. He don't take no crap.
According to that report, that's not going to happen for Veritech. Now, Heyman is a Boris guy, Veritech a Boris client. So, you know, maybe it's well-sourced. Family reasons. Veritech not going to be the guy.
Family reasons?
Yeah, he's got kids. He's got family. He wants to spend more time with his family.
Okay.
Be a manager. Like, managing a team is a lot of work. And not in, like, it's hard work.
It's a lot of hours.
It's your life is gone.
Yeah.
Like, you're on the road all the time. You leave for spring training now.
Yep.
And you go to Florida, and you're there until April. Florida. Then you're on the road, and it's not done until minimum last week of September.
Yeah.
It's you know.
When you're home.
Baseball pays well because it's not an easy life.
Yeah.
Not an easy lifestyle, I should say.
When you're home, you're at the park at, 11 o'clock in the morning as a manager, and you're there until 11 at night, 12-hour days at game days.
It's a super time-consuming job. And
God, these guys are loud.
You're on the road a lot, and if you have young kids, that might be a reason why you're like, I don't want to do that.
It's all consuming.
He doesn't need the money. He doesn't need a job.
Well, and you said
he's set for life.
You said baseball pays well, but not necessarily for the managers. When you look at the sliding scale of what players get paid in the NFL and what the coaches make.
Right.
Like, there's
first time coaches, guys who have never done it before.
Or guys who you don't know what they're going to be like. You know, Gruden getting his 10-year, $100 million contract. You have any idea what type of coach Gruden is going to be? Oh, we think we do.
Joe says it all the time. When you get a head coaching job in the NFL, regardless of your previous experience, Brian Flores in Miami, Joe Judge in New York, it's life-changing money.
Right. Yeah.
In baseball, Alex Cora took over and made $750,000 in year one as Red Sox manager. Now, hey, $750,000 as a salary for a year is great, but in terms of changing your life and setting you up for life,
no,
not quite.
No,
that's a lot of money to the average person, but in terms of if you were to get fired after 1 year, you got to go find another job. Yeah. Football coaches get guaranteed like tens of millions of dollars walking through the door, right?
Sean McVay. How about Eric Taylor? Because he coached under Sean McVay.
Zach Taylor. Baseball, your brain has to be on from every single day from mid-February through September for like 12 hours a day, most days.
Well.
But you have to be thinking about, if you're not thinking about this game, you're thinking about the next game, the lineup, how to use guys, how to use pitchers, all that stuff. Apparently how to steal signs, all this stuff. You're thinking about a million things. It's all consuming for like 7-8 straight months. Huh.
You haven't even brought up the brain drain from the sign stealing. My God,
running wires out the center field.
You got to have an electrical engineering degree to take that job now.
Mounting TVs on the wall.
getting the Geek Squad from Best Buy to come by the park and to hang more monitors. Oh. Got to be there for those appointments. They give you a 3-hour window. I don't know. Are they coming at 11 a.m. or 2 p.m.? I don't know. I got to be here.
You know what I want to find out about this cheating thing is, like, how many guys, I guess it doesn't matter if you have cameras. How many, they try to get on second base so they can get the, sequence of signs, right?
Yeah.
That's one of them. How many times they get thrown out trying to take the extra base to second base?
Oh.
You know, they usually get a million runners out.
They usually get thrown out at third.
So I was just looking, like, the minimum salary for head coaches in the NFL is $4 million. Like, the worst coach year one makes $4 million. And coaches
Zach Taylor makes $4
million? Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, you said average.
No. Lowest dollar amount. Yes.
Brian Flores makes $4 million?
And not only that, Brian Flores... He gets five. Right, so Brian Flores at $5 million a year. And Jeff Ross, the owner of the Dolphins. So most first-time head coaches.
Steven Ross.
What did I say?
Jeff.
It was Jeff Ross.
Roaster.
What?
Comedian.
Comedian.
Oh, is that what that is?
Jeff Ross.
Sorry. Steven Ross gave him
Bob Ross
an extra guaranteed year. Most first-year head coaches get 4 years plus an option. He got five fully guaranteed. He said, no, you're my guy, five full guaranteed years. So at $5 million a year, let's assume no raises, which you know is wrong. So let's assume he's a flat salary, year one, $5 million is what it pays every year. That's a minimum of $25 million guaranteed that he got last year to go from being an assistant on Bill Belichick's staff to being the head guy in Miami. $25 million guaranteed. Baseball? As a manager, not the case. As a player, it is. That's what I was talking about, though. Like, you get paid well as a player.
Sure.
To live that life.
Yeah.
But you're younger when you're in your 20s as a player. If I were Veritek, I wouldn't want that life. Like, unless he already did that life. He played.
Did anybody get another $6 million a year?
Unless he desperately wants to be a manager, and specifically a manager of the Red Sox. And who knows when this job might come up again.
Hey, we survived an earthquake here yesterday in Miami. We'll get to that coming up. And also...
Survivor stories?
Yes, survivor stories from yesterday's earthquake. But we'll be talking to Brad Stevens coming up next.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Zolak and Bertrand are live on Radio Row, presented by Hyundai on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Wisconsin's finest, Michael Felger.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, Michael Felger!
He doesn't know where it came
from. Michael Felger!
He's oblivious. He's not going to react to it. Just some fan. He's probably used to it.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand from Radio Row at Super Bowl 54 at the Miami Beach Convention Center. That was on the call last night right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Grandy and Max yelling at Felger. He was a part of our traveling party at the Celtics game last night. Let's welcome in the head coach of the Celtics on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Brad Stevens is with us. Hi, Coach.
Hey, guys. How's life down there?
Things are good.
I said he's better than I remember it.
Yeah, the sun doesn't hurt.
No, it's just you think, you know, it's crowded and this and that and traffic, but you get the vibe. It's a cool city. It's a cool vibe down here. It's different. Yeah, we don't get it in the Northeast.
It was a little bit more brisk stepping off the plane at 3 a.m. than it was getting on the plane at 11.
You guys couldn't stay, like, just, you know, until, like, noon today or just have a few extra...
Get back and watch a film.
No, they don't go again until... They'll be playing Golden State tomorrow night. You got that. You're fine.
We were on a six-day trip, and obviously with the emotions of the week for everybody, I think we were all thrilled to get home sooner rather than later. But I did make an announcement after the game. I said to our guys, hey, you know, we're not waiting on you tonight. Let's make sure, and I think a couple guys thought, huh, this might be the one to miss, but they all made it to the plane, and we all got home, so that was good.
I asked you this time last week about Jason Tatum, and he was missing. I said, anything wrong there, anything to be concerned about? He said, no. Could this be a load management with him missing the game again?
No, this was a... If I remember correctly, when we talked last week, he played against Memphis, right? So that night... So he tweaked his groin in that game. And then this is just, I think you probably know, Scott, you've had teammates that have been this way. I mean, the muscle strains, the muscle tears or whatever, obviously this isn't a bad one by any means.
Yeah.
You got to be super careful with. And so he is getting way better. I anticipate if he doesn't play tomorrow, he'll be back by the weekend. But we've been, what I think is appropriately cautious. He's been antsy to play as he usually is. But I think that, especially in this stretch, I mean, you re-aggravate it, you can miss 10 to 12 games quickly. And so he's missed three. You know, we're hopeful that he's able to have a great workout today. We'll reassess him in the morning. And we hope we get him back, but we're not going to rush it.
How would you describe, you mentioned the emotions of the week, how would you describe this week internally for you guys, given the news of Kobe Bryant's passing and what he meant to so many players on your team and people around the NBA? you know, what's it been like for you as a coach of players that looked up to him and sort of dealing with that? I know you guys have talked about it. You also were honoring him last night with the sneakers. What's this week been like for you guys?
You know, it was, I mean, obviously really difficult. You realize, you know, when we all grew up, I think, and I said this in my first press conference after, that was, you know, for people in New England, maybe it was Bird. I think for the people that grew up in the late 80s, early 90s, this is the young generation's Jordan. And this is the person that, you know, everyone aspired to play like. Everybody studied from a passion and competitiveness standpoint. And even though was our biggest rival here in New England, I think that, you know, those are the people that you probably respect the most, right? When you go back and when you dissect their careers and when you go back and really look at what they meant to the game as a whole, but your experience as a fan. And for all of our guys, that's, you know, we've only got a handful of guys in our locker room that played against him, you know, because most of our guys weren't in the NBA in 2016 when they retired. A couple of them know him. A couple of them have worked out with him. But just the imprint that he left on the game, it's pretty impressive. And I've never been in a situation as a coach. The only one that was comparable was when Isaiah lost his sister the day before game one of the Chicago series. I remember us talking with Isaiah. I was over at his house the night before, and Tracy and I were both like, you know, do only what you want to do, but you need to take care of yourself first. And to him, basketball was his sanctuary. Those 2.5 hours were the time that, you know, he could do what he loved to do and honor a person that he loved so much. And I think that you see that around the NBA. There's no right or wrong emotion. We've seen some guys play, some teams not, some guys not. It's just another example that, you know, there's not a book on how to handle grief.
Right. Didn't he spend hours in the dentist chair at that time too? Like right around there?
Yeah, it was a week or 10 days after, and I thought about Isaiah the last couple of days. I mean, he was tight with Kobe too, and it's just really hard around the NBA. You can see the impact that he had, and I think we could all pick out, you know, and you guys talk about this stuff every day, right? But it's amazing how much of an impact he's had on the game and of all the generations of the game, but specifically this group of young players.
Gordon Hayward last night, 29 points, 9 rebounds. Is he playing possibly the best basketball he's played since being a Celtic?
He's had really good stretches in the last couple years, guys. And I think sometimes, you know, when we're full, people are going to look at the points scored and determine that, you know, that's not as effective as a game as when you score 30 or 29 or 25. But I said this last week, and I thought he played great in the Lakers game. He played well against Memphis. He played well in all three road games. But he's really done a good job of accepting to do whatever it takes to win. And a lot of times when we're full, that's going to be continuing to be a guy that makes the next right play for somebody else. Oftentimes it's an assist or a hockey assist. Sometimes that's getting downhill and getting to the foul line himself or scoring. But I think he's in a really good place of, like, he's here to win. And I feel the same way about a lot of our guys, but he's had a good impact on everybody. And on nights like last night, on nights where we don't have everybody, which has happened all too often this year, you know, we know that he can step up and provide whatever is needed in that moment. He's been good. But we've got a lot of guys that have been good, but you need guys to be able to embrace whatever they need to do for your team that night to win the game.
Coach, did you send in your All-Star Reserves ballot yet by any chance?
Yeah, it's due on Tuesday. Tuesday, like, I think it was mid-afternoon or something.
Okay.
But yeah, I did.
Get on it?
You want me to go through my whole ballot so that off half the East?
Well, if you want to do it, feel free. But I was just going to say,
I can't vote for our own.
How much time do you spend on something like that? How much time do coaches typically spend on that?
You know, I try to put the appropriate amount of time and thought into it. We do. We talk about it as a staff. Talk about it with our front office. I look at the at a lot of the advanced numbers. I consider how teams are playing. I look at who teams are playing through. You know, I think that that's another good example of not just who's scoring the most or who's doing this or that, but who, what are they doing when they need a basket? What are they doing when they need a stop? Who are they putting that person on? You know, all that stuff. I think the, you know, I try to take it as seriously as possible. And then, you know, I think that a fear factor plays a large role in it. You know, like, who do you have to tweak everything you're doing for? Or who do you have, who tweaks your defensive system more than others? You know, there's all that stuff. It kind of stinks that we get to only vote for 7. I think they should increase it to 15 and have, you know, 10 reserves. And nobody wants to play a ton of minutes anyways. You might play a little bit, you know, you might get a little bit more competitive. Guys are playing a little bit less minutes. And, I mean, I got waved off a couple times when I was trying to put guys back in the game a couple years ago. So I know kind of, you know, guys want to play the appropriate amount, but they don't want to play 38 or 39 usually.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's got to be a little awkward. Like,
no, I'm good, coach.
Come on, don't you want to win? Not really. Okay. Well,
no, I mean, it's more of, it wasn't like they didn't want to go in. It was more like, hey, you know, they were definitely okay cheering on the other people. And there's so much that goes into that. You want to give everybody the appropriate amount of time. Yeah. I told the only person I told that wouldn't play a lot was Kimba, because that was the first time I met him. And I said, I've been waiting ever since you beat us in the national championship game to not play you. So,
well,
sit down. You know, you may not play as much as everybody else. So he's finally let go of that grudge, although he holds it against me. Sometimes when he gets mad at me here, I think he thinks I'm still still pissed at it.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.